Okay, we're starting here at the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Bet by the two dots. Kufa. This goes back to a Gemara that we saw earlier on Yotet Amud Bet. Amar Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina. Kol kior she'en bo dekadesh arba'a kohanim mimenu ein mekadshin bo. So any kior that doesn't hold or doesn't have in it the quantity of water that would suffice for kohanim, then we don't wash from it. Why? She'nema v'rachatzu mimenu Moshe v'aron u'vanav. So we saw that back, the Rashi explains, you have Moshe, Aaron, and then Vanav, the plural, the minimum of two. So therefore you have four. That is the minimum amount of water that you would expect to have inside of the Kiyor. Back in Yutet, I sent out the Mekorot for the different opinions of the Rishonim, the Gabay, how is it that Moshe and Aaron had at the same time were washing their hands? Did they actually work together as Kohanim at any given point in time? Or there is a suggestion of the Emek Dovar that Moshe used to have to wash his hands to go into the Ohel Moed in order to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whereas Aaron was going as the Kohen to do the Avodah. So different ways or different combinations are coming up how they all four could have been or necessitated washing when we go in. Now the Gemara says, Meitave, Kol HaKelim Mekadshin, Ben Sheish Ben Revi'it, Ben Sheein Ben Revi'it, Uvad Shihu Kli Sharet. A mayim shnitkatshu for doing chitzat yadayim raglayim or kiddush yadayim raglayim, whether they have a revit in them, whether they don't have a revit in them, uvout shiyu kli sharet, as long as they are utensils of the mikdash that are kadosh b'mikdash. So we see over here that the qualification is simply that it be a kli sharet, and it doesn't matter whether there is a revit and no revit in it. There is no minimum standard here that we're talking about that has to have enough water to be mekadesh mit for kohanim. We don't see any of that in this statement. So if Amar of Adar bar Acha, so it says no, but kodeach bitocho. Here is a case where they drilled into the kli. Let's say you take for instance the kior. They drilled into the side of the kior and they build an extension out of the kior. So that becomes, this extension becomes a derivative of the original. That's the way Rashi explains it. We're going to have a similar case later on in the Gemara with the mikveh, where they also do something like this. And Rashi says they drill a hole in the side and they take some of the water out from the side. Tosos, on the other hand, says no, that it's talking about a kli, that you just take this kli from the bigger kli. You take the water out of the bigger kli, and later on in the mikveh, he says the same thing. Take a smaller kli and take the water out of the mikveh. The basic idea being that this is a derivative, unique, from the original which sufficed. So you have a kior that had enough water in it that would suffice. And then when you kodeach bitocho means that you have an extension on the kior according to Rashi, according to Tosfos, you have a smaller kli that took water out of it. But since it's a derivative of the original that was kosher, then it's okay, it's fine. You just have to start with the minimum amount, which is enough to wash four kohanim's hands. But if you take from that, you take water from that amount, all the water that's taken from there has the status as if it was in the kior, or the status of those that could wash four kohanim. Gemara says, Vaha mimenu, Amar Rachmanum, says that you have to wash from it. It, meaning the kior, Rachatzu mimenu, that they wash their hands from the kior itself. Here you're suggesting, according to Tosfos, again, a separate kli, Rashi, an extension on the kior itself. Here
it's the from the kior.
Right, but that's still, the requirement is it should be mimenu from the kior itself, not just the water, but the kior itself should be the kli that provides it. So the Gemara says, Yechatzu, l'rabot kli sharet. The Pasuk says, or it's an unnecessary, as Rashi points out, Yechatzu, because the Torah already said the word rachatz, and then later on it repeats Yechatzu. We would know that already, that we're talking about rechitza. So why does it repeat it a second time? Because we already said rechatzu mimenu. So we know that they're doing rechitza. So why would I have to say, when it comes to they have to say yerchatzu again? That extraneous word of yerchatzu teaches me to include other kli sharet. Where it says, yochi klei chon hami. If you're already going to include kelim, other kelim as being okay, then why don't we say the klei chol as well? But the suggestion is, at this point in time, then we'll get around to what you're saying in the end. But the suggestion at this point in time, that all that matters is the water. The water that comes out of the kior. Once you're taking water out of the kior, why is it should be, if it's a kli sharet or a kli chol, why should that have any impact? Meaning that if kli sharet is okay, but it's only okay if it's taking a derivative of the kior. If that's the case, then a kli chol should have the same ability to be a derivative of the kior. So the Gemara says, Amar bai, kli chol, amotzit, amar, mikal v'chomer, mikano. You can't do that from the kano, or the kind of the kior, which is the base on which upon which the kior sits. Umakano shenim shachimo, the kano got the shemen hamishchat to be kodesh along with the kior itself. Einu mikadesh, it's unable to be mikadesh demayim. It's a kli of the mikdash, and yet it's unable to be mikadesh demayim. The kli chol shenim shachimo. The kli chol that has nothing to do with the kior, then it shouldn't be able to function or help out with in terms of the mayim to present themselves like the kior. And udinchen mikadesh. So Gemara says mikano minalon. How do we know that it does get meshicha and it's not mikadesh? Both of those items. The Tanya, we have a bright the Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yochol Yehi Kano mikadesh kederach shakior mikadesh. I would think that the base kimi mikadesh the mayim the same way that the kior is mikadesh the mayim tamalomar vasita kior nechoshet vichano nechoshet lenechoshet ifshet. The only connection between them is nechoshet and nothing else. Now, this is not a real hekesh. We're not talking about here a hekesh between the kior and the kano, but rather the unnecessary words that are being used in the pasuk. If you want to tell me that they're both made out of copper, you should have said v'asita kior v'kano nechoshet. The fact that it says nechoshet separately for the kior and the kano, that tells you that they are separate entities. The kior and the kano do not function the same way. The only commonality between them is nechoshet. And that's in the end. The bottom line is that the kior and the kano, nechoshet is the only hekesh, quote-unquote, here. We're not using hekesh in the halachic sense, but dimitiv, in the sense that we compare them or they are similar. They are similar in this one fact, that they both are made out of nechoshet. On the other hand, when it comes to davar acher, anything else, that will not be the case. So even though the kior can be mekadesh tamayim, on the other hand, the kano cannot be. So that's why we say that the nechoshet yitkashiv v'lo davar acher. Amalei barzut to break the Rav Mari l'Ravina, malakano shein asui l'tocho. And a basic question, I think David, you were pointing to this. So, well, what's the havamina that the kan could do anything? It doesn't function like that. The kan is a base. It's not a kli that has an internal receptacle that can use for the water. So maybe that's just a functional problem. The kano is not mekadesh demayim because it doesn't function as a kli. So maybe that's the problem. So maybe that would be a pirchir. Malakano shein asur l'tocho. To buy the kli chol shein asur l'tocho. Why would you think to compare a kli chol to that? There's no kavachomer anymore. They're two different entities. They're totally different receptacles.
Actually, is made for the inside of it to be is the kior is the inside of the base.
Tosos here says that the kano has a toch to it. The kano can explain one of two ways. Shein bo tocho is one of the ways, like David is explaining, that it's an overturned bowl, which is that's the base and it sits on top, and it's not really made as a receptacle. Tosos does not think that. It says kavachomer mi kano, that the fact that he was willing to make a kavachomer from the kan indicates, he says, mashma sheish lo toch, basun kamin teva prutza lamalo, right? That it's made in some sort of open, the other way around, it's an upright bowl, or a teva that's set in it that has some sort of opening on the top, although that seems a little more difficult to explain, because if a kli is made, even though it has a receptacle but it's made to be filled, that's not classified as a toch, for like dinei tuma. Because here again, the kior is going to sit in that toch, so it doesn't have a din of a receptacle. But anyway, Tosfos learns that way, that there is actually a receptacle here. The other possibility, again, it's upside down, and it doesn't function that way, which we say by dinei tuma, amod benaseh machtenu, which is that even though it might have a receptacle on the other side of it, when you turn over the bowl and you sit the kior on top of it, nevertheless, in those instances we say, take the bowl and do what it's supposed to do. What is it supposed to do? It's supposed to be a base, not to be a receptacle. Either way, if the kano is functionally, it's not a receptacle for water. That's not what it's made for. So how can you make a kal v'chomer to kli chol in this instance? So when it says, Ela mimenu l'me'ute kli chol. It says mimenu from a kior means from the kior and not from kli chol. So now the Gemara is going to ask the question. If it's mimenu from the kior, then you should exclude kli sharet. So why are you including kli sharet? Where it says, Rabbi Rachmano yechatzu. Oh, because we have the riboy by yechatzu to include kli sharet. Umar raita. So what made you want to include kli sharet and exclude kli chol? This comes to what I was saying to you before. So this is what the Gemara gets to eventually, which is you're right. You take the least chiddush. The least chiddush is a kli sharet, and that's what the Gemara ends up with here. That's it, ta'on meshicha kamo. Kli sharet is kadosh, requires meshicha just like the kior, therefore we're going to include it. On the other hand, when it comes to a kli chol, zein ta'on meshicha kamo. It doesn't have meshicha, it's not in kadesh, and therefore we're going to exclude it. So I have to pick. I'll pick the least chiddush, I'll pick the kli sharet, and not the kli chol. So now, the Gemara says, Amar Reish Lakish, kol ha-mashlim namei mikveh, mashlim namei kior. L'revi'it, eno mashlim. So here we're talking about the additions to a mikveh in Hilchot Mikvaot, there are certain additions of liquids that have different effects on the mikveh. For some liquids, when you add them to the mikveh, they're posel the mikveh. There are other liquids, when you add them to the mikveh, that they are mashlim. They actually complete the mikveh. They can be part of the 40 sa'ah. There's a third group of liquids, which, if there are 40 sa'ah already in the mikveh, they will not be posel it. But if there's less than 40 sa'ah, they will be posel it. So this is the statement over here by the Reish Lakish is one. Kol ha-mashlim le-mikveh, anything that can complete the 40 sa'ah, any liquid that is qualified to be mashlim to the 40 sa'ah that the mikveh needs, mashlim le-mikior, can also be sufficient to get to the minimum requirement of what's needed in the Mei Kior, which is the four. Very good. The four Kohanim. L'Revi'it, when it comes to Revi'it, Enu Mashlim. So what is the Revi'it that we're speaking about here? Rashi says it's the Revi'it L'Netilat Yadayim. It's a Revi'it for washing one's hands. You have to have a Revi'it Mayim to wash one's hands. So this is not true. Whatever we say is true by Mikveh and Kior, that's a commonality between them, shared between them. That is not true when it comes to the Revi'it, or to be Mashlim the Revi'it of Netilat Yadayim. Tosfos takes issue with it and says that it's not even topical. What does Mentilat Yadayim have anything to do with Mei Mikveh and Mei Kior being Mashlim to Arbim Sa'ah? Doesn't seem to fit the fold at all. But he says, Ktza Tema, V'anir L'Fereish, L'Revi'it, Hanu L'Hadbil Machtinu L'Tzinoriot. Tosfos wants to suggest that the Revi'it Amayim is the Din of Mikveh Del Raito. Din of Mikveh Del Raito is not that you do not need 40 Sa'ah. You need 40 Sa'ah for Adam, because that's the minimum amount of water in which an Adam can fit his entire body. But when it comes to Kelim, you would require a much smaller mikveh. You could do a Revi'it Mayim of a mikveh, as long as the Kli could fit into the mikveh, midoraita, it is fine. We, the Chachamim, or the Rabbanim, we go there that we have a mikveh of 40 sa'ah in all instances, not just for Adam, but also for Kelim. But the Iker Din is for Machtoyot and Tzinoriot, you could have a Revi'it Mayim and you'd be fine in terms of mikveh. So he says, I think that's maybe what they're talking about. But then he says, Miunira Kepir Shekuntris. To be made Reish Lakish far betlu Revi'it the mikveh. He says, the problem is that Reish Lakish is in Amoda already. And we know already from the Mishnayot that changed. It's already a Tanaic issue where they changed it from being Midoraisa, where you can use a Revi'it Mayim, all the way to being 40 Sa'ah for Kelim. So Reish Lakish is in Amora already was faced with the din of Mem Sa'ah for everything. So why would he be speaking about Revi'it Mayim of Mikveh at all? So that's Tosus in the end comes around to Rashi and says it's got to be Revi'it of Netilat Yadayim, but he says topically it would make much more sense to say that we're talking about Revi'it that relates to Mikveh and not to Netilat Yadayim. Right, the pilpul. He gave you the conclusion, the bottom line. Rashi gave you the bottom line. Tosus told you how you get there. All right. So now the Gemara says, Lemutei Mai. All right, so give me the examples that we're talking about here that work by Mikveh and Kior and that do not work by Netilat Yadayim. If we're talking about Tit, now here about the Girsa, it's not clear. It's whether Tit HaNidok or Tit HaNirok. Here it's Tit HaNidok. Rashi, you can see, Rashi has Nidok here and explains it based on Nidok. Although in other places, the Gemara uses the word Nirok and it's explained based on Nirok. They both mean basically the same thing, which is that you have some sort of plaster that is inside of it. Now, if you say it's nirok, nirok means the harik mikli akli, means to be able to pour from one kli to the next, which means that it's so liquefied. It's the nirok, tita nirok, would mean liquefied plaster. It's so liquid, it has properties like water. That would be the case of nirok. On the other hand, if you say that it is nidok, is that it's crushed, dak or rach. It's soft and crushed, so that you can pour it back and forth from kli to kli. So you see, it actually is a similar type of explanation, but it's pulverized to the point that it is a liquidy, and it flows back and forth like water. So that's what we're talking. Tino, hey, dummy. What's the case of this liquefied plaster? Ida para shochev v'shotem mimenu. If a cow would come and drink from it, meaning it would come to the trough and drink from it, afilu revi'it nami, then it's kosher for netilat yadayim. V'im ein para shochev v'shotem mimenu. If a para would refuse to drink from it, meaning it's not ra'oi l'achilat be'ima, afilu the mikveh nami enu mashlim. Then it comes, it's not ra'oi for water in the mikveh. If an animal is unwilling to drink for such water, that mayim asruchim is no good to be mashlim the mikveh. So that cannot be the explanation of the nafkamina between netilat yadayim and mikveh, because here they have the same din. In the question of why the animal would drink from it, Rashi says it has to do with the thickness of the water. Whether you explain it to be plaster or you explain it to be dirt or muddy water, he says the water is too thick, so the behemoth won't drink from it. So therefore it loses its classification as water, as opposed to when it's thin, that means that it still has properties of water because the behemoth is willing to drink it. That means whatever the external content that's in there, mud or teeth or plaster, is not enough to change the properties from being properties of water. Tosus, on the other hand, brings down, he suggests that there is a din, if you say Tosus, afilu revi'it, gan perisha kunches, darmina bekol basar, maim shenifsalu mishtiyat behema, ben bekelim, ben bekarka psulim, halo nifsalu kshirim, veinu keim, that's not the din. The tiny behead, they are bekarka kshirim, that if they're still in their original space, in the ground, they are kshirim. Avav bimkomam kshirim lekuliyam afilu bimikveh. If you can get into the water, it's fine. But the problem only becomes when you remove the water from the ground and then you try to use it as water somewhere else. Then the test, this test becomes important whether a behemoth drinks from it or not. But when it's stationary in the ground, then it's not a problem. So how come over here we're using a test to see whether they are sruchim or not with the animal? We're talking about a mikveh. It sounds like we're not differentiating between in the ground and a kli. We're talking about something stationary water, and we're testing for sruchim. But we know from the Gemara and Chulin that that's not the case. So Tosfos says there's a difference. In the case in the Gemara and Chulin, the mayim is simply sruchim. They're just rotten or spoiled water. So when it's just the rotten or spoiled water, that if it's in the ground, we don't worry about it. There's no test for it. Only if it comes down to a kli do we test to see if it's a liquid. Over here, we have an additional issue that's raised by our Gemara, and that's the fact that the mayim are akurim, that there's tit, mud, or plaster that's mixed up with the water. So in addition to bisruchim, they also have this additional aspect. That's why we need the test of the behema, both for the kli and the ground. So that's why over here, we say no differentiation between kli and karka, because we have both the problem possibly that tsuchim are inedible, undrinkable, not potable water for the behema. Whereas in the case in Chulin, the only question was it was clear water, it just didn't smell good, it was rotten water. So that if it's in the ground, it's fine. Only if it comes out of the ground, then you have to do the test to see if it's potable. So Gemara so far says, okay, we don't have an explanation for this. Ella, the mute yivchushim adumim. It's coming to exclude red insects. There, even if they're, the entire thing is made up of red insects and they're all there, that's no problem. Da'atanyo, you have a bright, Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, kol shetchilat briyato min hamayim, anything that grows out of the water, matzbilimbo, you can use it for the mikveh, you can be tovel in it. Idea here being that what's classified as water, well, that's water, plus anything that is created out of the water. Probably, I'd say it's not obvious over here, but it's probably, again, talking about spontaneous generation, the idea that these are insects that are created out of the water, and therefore they have a din like water. They are derivatives of the water, and therefore they have a din like water, and there's nothing to talk about over here, because there, forget about having water with something mixed into it, and being mashlim, you could dip into these insects. If you take all these red insects and dip into them, that's a whole mikveh full of water. They are classified, they have a din like water. You don't need water plus them, they are water. They have the same din as water. Obviously, you could argue against spontaneous generation here and just say that they're born in the water, they grow up in the water, therefore they have a din like water. Although I would, you know, suggest the Gemara in other places clearly believes in this idea of the spontaneous generation, and therefore it would make sense that here they would apply it as well. That something that is a derivative of the water is classified like water. So that you can actually do tevila in the eye of a fish. So Rashi explained that's dag gadol. We're talking about a large fish. Shinimok shuman eno bechoro. That the oil or the liquid that's found in the eye of the fish has somehow dissolved or been now made available, and that you can dip into, you can go into the mikveh in that water. That's considered to be a liquid that is good enough to go to the mikveh in it. So Kishim Adunim, Rashi calls them, the Kamin Yitushim below Kanafayim. They're insects without wings. They grow on the back of our barrels, the underside of our barrels, on the outside they grow over there. And they also come, they derive from the water. Din here can't be, this is not what we're talking about here, because we're talking about lahashlim over here. So over there, but by the eno shodag and the yivchushim, you could dump yourself in and it could be the full mikveh can be made out of these things. So that can't be what Reish Lakish is speaking about here, because he's talking about lahashlim and not to make the mikveh out of them. So what's the answer? So we have another pas amara papa. The meute natan sa'a v'natal sa'a. And it comes to exclude a case where you place one sa'a in and then you take one sa'a out. It's not. This is talking about a mikveh that is totally kasher. It has 40 sa'a in it already. But you can bring in items that would otherwise be posel. They could not be mashlim to the 40 sa'a. Over here, once there is 40 sa'a in the mikveh and they fall in, they're ksherim. They're never mashlim, but once they fall in, they're ksherim when there's a 40 sa'a. So you drop the item in, and then this type of liquid in that would otherwise be posel, and then you take a sa'a out. Drop another one in, take a sa'a out. So there, we say that that is okay by the mikveh. That's not a problem when you're doing this swap of putting a sa'a in of what otherwise be posel for the mikveh, and then you're taking out a sa'a of mayim that would have been kasher. Tetnan, mikveh sheyesh bo mem sa'a mekuvanot. That's exactly 40 sa'a. Natan sa'a v'natal sa'a. He puts in a sa'a of what otherwise would be a liquid that is posel the mikveh. V'natal sa'a. Then he takes the other sa'a out. Harizeh kasher, no problem. Ve, Amar Rav Yehuda, Bar Shila, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, he qualifies that ad rubo. That's only until you reach the rov. You can keep doing this swap out until you reach the point or the threshold where the rov is now from the
20.
Right, up right before 20 sa'a. You can go up to 19.99 sa'a, you can do this trick for it, but after that you can't do it anymore because then you're already crossing over the rov, which is similar to an idea that we saw by Kama Kama Batil. Right, that's why Tosa says over here, Natan sa'a kasher b'mei peirot mairi. Tell you about fruit juices over here. If you were talking about water that was not water, rainwater, but rather water that was drawn, that is posel midraban, mayim shuvim is posel midrabanan. There he says it's not a problem. That you can pour in all day because kama kama batel, rishon rishon batel. Tosa says over here, we're not talking about real water, because if you're talking about water, then you say kama kama batel. We're talking about items that are liquids that would be problematic, but they're not water, but they are similar enough to water that they can be in the batel inside of the mikveh. You are saying kama kama batel until you reach the robe, which actually is interesting because it relates to the machlokas we saw with Rashi and Tosafot back in Avodah Zarah, which is when you have kama kama batel, how far can you say kama kama batel goes? Rashi says it's an infinite item. You can just say kama kama batel, right? Tosas over there says it's a limit until the rov. That kama kama batel only works until rov. So it's interesting over here, Tosas says that when it comes to mayim, kama kama batel forever. And that only when b'mei peirot does he put a cap on it that it should be ad rov. But you see this concept, or that it's not clear, issue of kama kama batel. In some instances it will only work ad rov, in other instances it can work ad infinitum, that you can keep replacing it. So this will be the difference between mikveh and kior, and the revi'at, mayim. Why? Because by the revi'at, as Rashi says, the kavatei b'nitel tadaim, lo mishalme. They cannot complete the amount. Shemaitabo revi'at mayim. You have a full revi'at mayim, which will be kosher for nitel tadaim. B'natam yimini malalu tocho. You take whatever waters that you would otherwise pour into the mikveh, and that would make them no problem. They would get subsumed, kama kama batel, and then you can pull out a sa'a. So we're here, b'natam yimini malalu tocho rova revi'at. Take a rov revit. You just place that number, rov revit. That's a quarter, meaning a tiny amount, 1/16. V'natal kenegdam, and then you take out water from that, psula. Telo chashiva shir zutrata, the revit lebutlainu. That the revit is not a significant enough of a measurement in order to vatel other items that fall into it. When it comes to mikveh, you're talking about 40 sa'al, that's a significant grouping of water already, that anything that falls into it is batel in the 40 sa'a. When it comes to revi'at mayim, we would not say the same thing, because revi'at mayim is only, it's not substantial, it's a small amount, and because of that, we would say over here, by revi'at mayim, you can't do this, natan sa'a v'natal sa'a. So that's what Reish Lakish was speaking about. That's the nafka mina b'tina, according to Rav Papa.
Even at the same proportion,
right? Even sa'a, if there's 1/40th over here, rov revi'at is 1/16th. Yeah, the answer is yes, that even at 1/40th, it would be a problem for the revi'at. All right, now the Gemara brings another statement for Rav Papa. Amar Rav Papa, im kadach bo, if you drill a hole, according to Rashi again, you drill a hole into the side of the mikveh, and then there's a revi'at coming that you took out, a revi'at from the mikveh, matbilim bo machtin mitzin oriyot. You can use those for a mikveh in order to be matbil kelim into it. Ho mechshera de mikveh atyo. Since it came from a kosher mikveh, 40 sa'a, and now you have this revi'at amayim that's coming out of it, you can use that as a derivative to dip the tinorot and the machtim into it. Small kelim you can use to dip into it. Again, Rashi explains here that they drilled a hole into the side of the mikveh, and they have a utensil or some sort of vessel receptacle that takes the water. It's no longer attached to the mikveh. That's important. If it was still, the mayim was still connected to the mikveh, then that is mikveh. That's a din of mikveh that we do all the time. That's neshika. We're not talking about that here. We're talking about where the water was removed from the mikveh, and then it sits in this receptacle on the side of the mikveh. Tosus Again, it explains, like we said above, it's if you take a receptacle and you take water out of the mikveh. It's not that you drilled a hole in the side, but he took a kli and he took water out of the mikveh itself. In either of these instances, you can use that for tevilat kelim, as long as the kli can fit entirely into that water, because it's a derivative of the original. So over here, what you have is something that we saw before by the kiyor. The kiyor and the mikveh have the same din, which is the kiyor and the mikveh, if you are a derivative of the kior, we saw that when you're kodeach the side of the kior, then you are a derivative of the kior, and then you're fine as long as you're in a klisha rate. And over here too, by the mikveh, if you drill a hole into the side of the mikveh and you're a derivative of the mikveh, you are fine. That obviously would not be true. Although I think Rapapa's statement is made here independently, but that obviously would not be true of Ravia Tamayim. If you have a Ravia Tamayim and then you take a derivative of the Ravia Tamayim, that doesn't necessarily mean that you can wash from that derivative of the Ravia Tamayim. But I don't think that's what the statement of the Gemara here is. I think Rapapa's statement is independent. I don't think Rapapa's explaining Reish Lakish here. I'm just saying that I think the din is true, that if you took a derivative of a kiyor and a derivative of the mikveh, that has a din of mikveh or din of kiyor, that's not true by Netilat Yadayim. If you take a derivative of the revi'it, I'm not sure that it really would be a considered kosher for Netilat Yadayim. Although we'd be start with a kli that had a revi'it in it, then whatever comes out of the kli afterwards has a din like the revi'it. But I think if you took it out, the derivative would not be that way. It's only from the kli itself that has the revi'it in it, and the din of Netilat Yadayim. Now if it's put into a separate kli. You have your hands, you wash with a half a revi'it, someone else can wash with the other half a revi'it. That's how it's it. So now the Gemara says, on to the new topic, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Amar Reish Lakish, May mikveh k'sherim l'mei kiyor. That the May mikveh can be used, the waters from the mikveh can be used for mei kiyor. The memra. The conclusion from this statement is the lo mayim chayim ninhu, that the water in the kiyor is not from a mayan, not from a spring. It's from water. It's from rainwater that's been mikunas. Yabata. You know, we have a braita. Now this word mayim is referring to adachat, or the cleaning of the kirbayim of the karbanot. They have to wash off the karbanot. You have to rinse off the karbanot. So over there it says, yichatsu b'mayim, that they have to be washed with water. So when you're talking about here, washed with water, the braita has qualifications for what it means that water. Velo b'yayin, water and not wine. B'mayim, velo b'mazog, water and not wine that's been diluted with water. B'mayim, so then b'mayim is the rabot sharmayim. Ramayim says any other water is fine. The kavachomer, the mekior, and then certainly the mekior would be fine. So my kavachomer, the mekior. Why, if you already say other water is good, then why is it automatically a kavachomer, the mekior? Lav the demayim chayim ninhu. What is it? The difference between the mekior and other waters is that other waters are come from stationary, stagnant water that comes from rainwater that's been collected, biashborin, versus the kior that comes from mayan, from spring water, which you always know, spring water is preferential or better than mayim mikunasim, because for anybody who requires mikveh, they can go into mayim chayim. But someone who requires mayim chayim can't go into the mikveh. So the Tarat HaZav and others that require mayim chayim, they can't use a mayim mikveh. So over here, if you say that water that's bashbowin works, then kal v'chomer may kior. But that would imply that may kior are not mayim mikveh. So the Gemara says, no. The Kaddish. That's it. They're Kadosh. The Kaddishe Malyutohi. No, the Kal v'chomer is that when you deal with Ashbon, regular water, those waters are not Kadosh. So that's where you can use them for the rinsing off of the Chalavim and the innards of the Behemot of the Karbanot. So Kal v'chomer that you can use the Mekior, which are Kadosh. That certainly you can use there because they are kadosh b'kedushan, and that would be a kal v'chomer. Not kal v'chomer because they're different types of water. They're different because one is kadosh, one is not. Va tani Rabbi Shmuel mayim she'in lehem shem levai, that only waters that have no additional descriptor to them, yatsu mekior she'ish lehem shem levai, it comes to exclude mekior which has an additional descriptor to it. Rashi says, I have no idea what this is speaking about or what this is going on. That's what Rashi says. Tosus, on the other hand, says that miu b'torat kohanim tanyo. He thinks that it's a from the Brayta in Torah Kohanim. V'ker v'karayim yichatsu b'mayim. V'lo b'yayim v'lo b'mozug b'mayim l'rabot shomayim. Yochu shanim b'rabe af meitutim. Tamalo remayim. She'en lehem shem levai. Yatsu meitutim she'esh lehem shem levai. So that comes to exclude waters that have a shem levai from it. So if that's the case, that would exclude here Mei Kior, because Mei Kior have a Shem Levai. They have an additional descriptor to them. Ela Lav. So what it must be over here is that if that's the case, that a descriptor on the word makes it pasul to use for Rechitza, then when our Braita before said v'kal v'chomer the mekior that they're kosher, it can't be literally talking about the mekior, because the mekior are no good. They have a descriptor that's associated with the word mayim. So what does it mean? Elalav deru'uyim mekior. It's water that could be used for the kior. What's different about water for the kior versus any other water? Alma mayim chayim ninu. They must be spring water. That's why when we say that mekior you can use, we're not talking about literally the mayim from the kior, but we're talking about mayim that could be put into the kior. That's mayim chayim. Mayim chayim is spring water. And now you see again that it seems like the kior requires spring water. How could Reish Lakish make a statement that may mikveh are kosher to make kior? The two are different. One is ashporin, one is collected water, and one is a live spring. You can't compare the two. Where it says, tanahi. It happens to be a machloket tanahim. Dam Rabbi Yochanan make kior. Rabbi Yochanan says, what's the din of make kior? Rabbi Shmuel Omer, may mayanheim. They are from a live spring. Chamimim, shar may molten. Is there any type of water? Regular water is fine for the kior. You don't require Mayan, you don't require a live spring water for the kior. So turns out it's a machlokas tanaim, and Reish Lakish is obviously siding with the chachamim and saying that may mikveh is kosher lit may kior, because he believes that there's no requirement of may mayan like Rabbi Ishmael, but rather like the Rabbanan. All right, so now we're going to continue. We're back to our Mishnah again. Took a slight digression for a kior, and now we're back to the Mishnah, which is the list in the Mishnah. The next item in the Mishnah is Arel. Arel that does avoda is mechalel the avoda, and the Gemara asks the question as it does every time. You know what? How do you know that Arel is mechalel avoda? Amar Rav Chisda Davar Zer Mitorah Moshe Rabbeinu Lamadnu Midivrei Chizkiyahu Ben Buzi Lamadnu. This we don't learn from the Torah itself, but rather from the Navi Yechezkel. We quoted this earlier in the Gemara back on Yudchet Amud Bet as the example of, wait a minute, how could it be that something that's not given to Moshe Rabbeinu we learn from Yechezkel? How could it be that Yechezkel is mechadish, some din that we didn't know from the Torah? Until Yechezkel came, how do we know this din? Ella, what does the Gemara say? That it was a Mesora, Gemara, Gemiri law. We had it as a Torah Shabbal Peh. And then Yechezkel Bavas Macha Akra. And he placed the posuk to tell us what the din of Alach Lemoshe Misinai was, which is what? That any individual is an Erel Lev or Erel Basar can't come to my Mikdash. Uminalon de Machle Avoda. How do we know that he's Machal de Avoda, that he's Machal de Avoda? If Dev, Babiachem, Bnei Nechar, Erle Lev, Averle Basar, Leot, Mikdashi, the Chalele Beiti. So it says explicitly that these individuals are bringing them are Mechalel Beiti. They profane my Mikdash. So we see that they are profaning over here. So you see, a Ben Nehar was an Erel Lev and an Erel Basar. What we're after here is the Erel Basar. He has an Orla because he doesn't have a Brit Milah. And we see that when he's called an Erel Basar, then he is Mechalel at Beiti. So we see that there's a Chilul Avodah that's associated with someone who has an Orla. Where it says, Tanu Rabbanan. Ben Nehar. Yochol ben nechar mamash. I would think we're talking about a goy literally. Talmud Omar erolev. The description of what a ben nechar is in this pasuk in Yechezkel is the next words, which is it'll be call it a noun phrase, which is a ben nechar erolev. That is the description of this individual. So what is a ben nechar erolev? Ben nechar erolev is someone whose lev is arel, but he's a ben nechar because of what's in his heart, not because he is a nochri. He's a Jew whose leiv is not l'shamayim. He goes after Avodah Zarah. He's following other religions. In came Malar Tamar Lamar Ben Nechar. So why does it say Ben Nechar then is Shinit Nakru Ma'asal Davi B'Shez Ramayim. He made himself a foreigner to his father in heaven. He's chosen other religions and rejected the religion or the Jewish religion. Vainly Ela Ero Leiv. That's only an Ero Leiv, meaning someone who's off the derech. Ero Basar Minayin. How do I know someone who doesn't have in Orla, Tamalomar, Erol Basar. That's a separate entity. You say, if Kobe Echar Erol Lev is one person, and the second person is an Erol Basar. That person also. Mitzvichi, we need both of these. We need an Erol Lev and an Erol Basar. De'i, Katav Rechamaner, Erol Basar. Had the Torah only taught us about someone who doesn't have a Brit Milah, Mishum Demois. They have a physical defection in them. It's a problem that is Ma'us, they still have the Orla, which is Tamei and a Cherpa, the way the Torah describes it, and removing it removes the Cherpa, removes the Tumah. A person doesn't have it removed, still has that aspect to them. About a real Lev, the Lo Mois, the real Lev has a problem in the way he acts, the way he thinks, but his goof itself is not Ma'us. Maybe for him it would be, he would not be Mechaleli Avodah. The Yashmina Nera Lev, if you just told me about someone who has left the religion, has gone off the Derech, Shem De'in Lo Bo'lo Shamayim, he's not one with the Kodesh Baruch. How could he come work in the place of a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Of course his avodah is mechulal. We don't want him there. But Errol Basar, who's libola shemayim, he could be authentic, full-fledged Jew that is shalem in a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He just has, there's a medical issue that he can't have a brit milah, so maybe he would not be mechalel avodah. So therefore I would think no. And then Gemara says, trichi, I need both of them. I need both of them to teach me that in both instances it's mechalel avodah. Whether he's an Errol Lev or an Errol Basar, both of those are mechalel avodah. Rashi explains throughout Shas that an arel means someone whose brothers died machmat milah, and therefore it was a sakana, it was a danger for him to get a brit milah, and the reason he has an arla now, and he's not getting his brit milah, is because of the danger. Rabbeinu Tam explains that an arel here is actually someone who's a mumar, the brit milah. He refuses to get a brit milah. If he's a mumar, the brit milah, what does that mean? That libo l'shamayim, that his lev is l'shamayim, means that he believes in Kodesh Baruch Hu, believes in everything, but he's a mumar for milah because he's afraid of the pain. He doesn't want to go through the milah. He's scared of going through such a surgery. So the fear is what makes him a mumar l'milah, but not because he really rejects the Kodesh Baruch Hu or in libo l'shamayim. So that might fit a little better in the Gemara here, because the Gemara here already calls it ma'is. With regard to this individual, although Ein Libo L'Shamayim fits a little more like Rashi's interpretation. Right now the Gemara says Tamei, which is the next listing in our Mishnah. Someone who's Tamei is also Mechalel Avodah. Gemara says Tamei Pasul. The word Pasul does not appear in our Mishnah, and Rashi over here says that the word Pasul is functioning like Mechulal. It's functioning like Mechalel over here. How do we know that a Tamei is Mechalel Avodah? That's what we're talking about over here. Amru Zignei Darom. The elders of the south, lo shanu elo tamei sheretz, that's only if he's tamei sheretz. Aval tamei meit, if he's tamei meit, pintoch shemratzeh b'tzibur, meratzeh nami b'yachid. Since it works by the tzibur, it'll also work by the yachid. So we know there's a principle, which is tuma hutra b'tzibur, it's in minyona d'yoma, chanukah, right, that the, one of the famous questions about why were they so desperate to find the Pnes Pacha, the Pacha Shemen to light the menorah, that it's Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. They could have lit it B'Tumah, so why were they so desperate to find something B'Tahara? So that's a famous question that's asked about on Chanukah. So many answers given about why they wanted to do the B'Tahara, but that was the Nes. Part of the Nes was that even though it's too much B'Tzibur, when they found that which was Tahor, that made it even greater, a greater miracle. So over here, we see that if Tumah is Hutra B'Tzibur, there's an aspect of Tumah that doesn't apply to Karbanah or Kodesh, that it works. We're able to override the problems of Kodesh when it comes to Tumah. Now we know, and we'll see that in a second, that only applies to Tumah Tmeit. And when we're talking about Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, Tumah Tmeit is the Tumah that allows such a thing to happen. But by other Tumot, that may not be true. So what does Zignei Darom come and say is, listen, Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur is when we have a large Tzibur that's Tameh, or we'll see later, if the Kohanim are Tameh, if the robe of the Kohanim are Tameh, then we also have the same din. But when it comes to a Yachid, or the Korban of a Yachid, Tumah does not override it. A Yachid, a Kohen is Tameh, or a Korban of a Yachid are not overridden by Tumah. The Zignei Darom say that's only true when we're talking about Tumat Sheretz. So if it's Tumat Sheretz, then it can't override the Korban Yachid, or be a Mechalel of the Korban Yachid, and the Kohen, who is Tamei Tumat Sheretz, cannot do a Vodah with the Korban Yachid. So, but a Kohen, who is Tamei Tumat Meit, and if he does a Korban Yachid, truly shouldn't do it. But if he does do it, then it's Meratzeh. Then it works. Because Tumah is Hutra B'Tzibur, when it comes to Tumat Meit, then when it comes to Tumat Yachid, we'd also say, B'di'eved, that the Tzitz will be Meratzeh Alav. Rashi says the Tzitz is Meratzeh Alav. I'm not sure why you need the Tzitz over here. Generally, the Tzitz is used for Basar, the Korban itself. If there's a problem in the Korban itself, the Tzitz is Meratzeh on the Korban. Over here, we're talking about the individual. There's Tumat Guf over here. That's the problem. So maybe we've actually seen the tumah that tzitzis meratzeh when the person with tumah taguf touches the kodesh, and it would have affected it that the tzitzis meratzeh on it. For those who suggest over here that maybe that limitation of the tzitz only be meratzeh for the korban itself and not for the michaprim, those that are bringing the korban, only applies to tumah sheretz. By tumah tmeit, it will also impact on those that are bringing the korban. But needless to say, Rashi says the tzitzis meratzeh is in this instance of the yachid. That even though Lachatkili shouldn't do it, but even if he did do it, then it is a kosher karban, it's not mechulal. So since we see that in places where Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur is even when the Balim or the Kohanim are Tameh, so to over here, when the Kohen is Tameh, and he does a Korban Yachid, he won't affect the Korban, he won't be mechalel the Korban. So that's the statement of Zignei Darom. Iachi, Gemara says, Tamei sheretz, nami leiti b'chal b'chomer. Tamei sheretz should be certainly so from a chal b'chomer. Mi tamei meit, from tamei meit. Ma tamei meit, shetahun hazah shlishi v'shvi. When it comes to tumat meit, there's a chomer, requires the sprinkling of the parah duma on the third and seventh day. And it works. So suddenly, we're talking about tuat meit, which has a much higher threshold in terms of tara, where you would require hazat shlishi and shvi'i, which is not true by tumat sheretz. So then, if by tumat meit we say tuma hutra b'tzibor, certainly it should work by tumat sheretz, which has a kula that it should work here. So if you're going to say that a tuma meit works and the tzitzis meratzah, let's say the same thing by tumat sheretz, mikal v'chomer. Mar says, "Kasavre zignei darom mechaprim kimit kaprim." That those that are getting kapara and those that are providing the kapara, they have to be equal. Ma mit kaprim tamei meit in tamei sheretz lo. Just like by the mit kaprim, who are the mit kaprim over here? The balim, the owners of the korban. Just like by them, if there is tuma, if they're tamei meit, then it works. Aval tamei sheretz lo. Af mechaprim, when it comes to the ones who are providing the kapara, the kohanim, tamei meit in, tamei sheretz lo. When it comes to tamei sheretz, that won't work. So just like by the balim, tuma, that is hutra b'tzibor, is only talking about tuma tamei. And so too, when we're talking about the tuma that's hutra by the kohen, we're only talking about a kohen that is tamei, tamei meit, and not a kohen that is tamei, tumat sheretz.
How do we see that tuma is hutra b'tzibor for the miskaper and only the tamei?
Where do I know that din from? Torah says, b'mo'ado, afilu b'tuma, that you bring korbanei tzibor b'mo'ado, even b'tuma. But that heter of mo'ado is only written by korbanot tzibor, not by the korbanot yachid. So that's what one. The second derivative is from korban pesach, which is by korban pesach we say that yachid is nidcha the pesach sheni, whereas a tzibor is not nidcha the pesach sheni. Individuals can be pushed off from pesach rishon to pesach sheni, but if the rov tzibor would end up on pesach sheni, then they're not nidcha. They're not nidcha the pesach sheni. The problem by the korban of pesach is tumat emet, and the case by mo'ado, Bituma, we're going to say, is also by a case of tumat ha-meit. Yeah, tamei le-nefesh adam. So by Karban HaPesach, we're talking about tum'ah. And so here we draw an equation between, just like by if the problem with the balim being tamei, then we say, yachid nidche ve'ein tzibur nidche. So too by the mechaprim, the kohanim, so too in that instance, if they were tamei, if they were both of them were tamei, we also say that the tumah is hutra b'tzibur by the Pesach, and by korban tzibur be mo'ado afilu b'tumah. So the Gemara once here at this point says to the Zignei Darom, if you have this limud that you're trying to say, then you could actually apply it to tamei sheretz. Because if by tumah tamei, which is much more chamur, you say that it's hutra b'tzibur, and the tzitz is meratzeh, then certainly by tumah sheretz you should say hutra b'tzibur, and the tzitz should be meratzeh. Where it says, kasavrei zignei darom, mechaprim kimit kaprim, so that we just did, that the din applies to the balim, will also apply to the kohanim, just like by the balim, we're talking about tumat hameit, and that we learn out from the korban ha-pesach. So too over here, when we're talking about the mechaprim, the kohanim, we're also going to be talking about a case where it's talking about tumat hameit, and not talking about tumat sheretz. But it says, my kasavri, what do they hold? And this is what you're asking. I kasavri ed shochtim izokin al tamei sheretz, that you can't bring a korban pesach for someone who's tamei tumat sheretz on erev pesach. The proof is from tumat hameit. Because it says a person is tamei lenefesh adam, but then he has to wait 7 days to become tahor. Right, those 7 days, how we know which of those 7 days turns out on Erev Pesach? It could be that the last day of the 7 days of Tahara or happen to fall out on Erev Pesach. Well, the last day, the Yom HaShvi'i for a Tamei Meit is equal to a Tamei Sheretz. That's the same thing as a Tamei Sheretz. That's Tumat Yom. And yet, what do we say? He gets Nidcha the Pesach Sheni. Even though he could become Tahor that night, we don't know which of the 7 days he's in. Nevertheless, he gets Nidcha the Pesach Sheni, so too, a Tumat Sheretz. Should also get knocked out to Pesach Sheni, because even though he'll be Tahor at night, we don't allow you to bring the Korban Pesach. Why wouldn't the Tzibur do a Betumah? Ha kosh v'yachid Nidcha, Tzibur avdei Betumah. The basic principle is that a Yachid is Nidcha, but not the Tzibur. So we're here by Tumat Sheretz, and he can't do it on Erev Pesach, so he's Nidcha the Pesach Sheni. So if he's an individual Nidcha the Pesach Sheni, a Tzibur is not Nidcha the Pesach Sheni. And if that's the case, then over here the tzibur should do it bitumah. Ein ochanami. The tzibur should do it bitumah, even by tumat sheretz. But there's another day. This is what the Ziknei Darom are holding like. There's another day in Pesachim that you do. You bring the Korban Pesach for him during the day, even though he's tamei tumat sheretz, and that night, when the night falls, you'll be able to eat it. Well, if they hold like that, if they do hold like that, then what do you see? You see that they're not nidcha lePesach Sheni. A yachid would never be nidcha lePesach Sheni by tumat sheretz. That was your question before, Tzvi. Why does tumat sheretz matter? You'll be tamei the day, you'll be tohar that night. You can eat it. So that's what the Ziknei Darom are saying. Exactly what you're saying. Tamei sheretz doesn't matter here. Yachid would never be nidcha lePesach Sheni because a yachid, you'd always bring the karma from him. If a yachid's not nidcha lePesach Sheni, tzibur's also not do it b'tohar tuma. The tuma hutcher b'tzibur is only if the yachid's nidcha. Over here, we won't have that. So that's what the Ziknei Darom will hold. That they hold that since a yachid is not nidche b'tamei sheretz, therefore the tzibur would not be nidche. There's no tumah hutcher b'tzibur when it comes to sheretz. And if the rov tzibur is tamei tumat sheretz, they'd all send their karbanot into the mikdash, have them brought, and by that night they all eat. They'll eat their karbanot that night.
This teaches us that tamei pasul is only by.
Right, only by tumat sheretz. Right, correct.
That's
correct.
The punchline.
Right. Right, yes, yes, that is the punchline over here. Right. Well, this is what Ziknei Darom are suggesting.
Yeah.
So, Amar Ula, taka lahu, Reish Lakish, the dromai. That Reish Lakish poked at them, he gave them run for the money. Tzaklam saw Kol Gadol, he screamed at them that this is incorrect. V'chi is a koach merubah. Which, who's stronger? Who's more important here? Koach mechaprim or koach mitkaprim? Those that are getting the kapara or those that are providing the kapara? V'mer, koach mitkaprim, those that are getting the kapara. Says, Omama, koach mishnitmu balim b'sheretz, in a case where the balim became tamei tumat sheretz, and therefore they can bring their korban ha-pesach, mishalkim karbanotim, they send it in and they eat it that night. Koin shnitmu b'sheretz, and a coin, according to you, who's come tamei tumat sheretz, enu meratzeh, doesn't work. Makom shnitmu balim b'meit, in a case where the owners of the Karban Pesach, if they become tamei tumat meit, ein mishal chayim karbanotayim. Then they can't send their karbanotayim. They're restricted. Even if they become tohar that night, they can't do it. Koin shenitma b'meit, enu din shenu meratzeh. Then a koin who's tamei meit, certainly it shouldn't be meratzeh. In a case where we have a dispensation to allow you to bring the Karban Pesach, even when you're tamei, that's too much sheretz. And there a koin is problematic. So over here, by the way, the balim don't have that dispensation. When they're tamei tumat meit, they have no dispensation to bring the korban on erev Pesach. Then certainly the koin shouldn't be able to bring it, but tumat meit. The Ziknei Darom believe that a Tamei Meit on his seventh day, Yachid, that is Tamei Meit, he can send his karbanot in and then eat them that night. That's one possibility. Or you can even say further that, even during their being Tamei Meit, even while they are Tamei Tumat Meit, they can send it in, even though you can only bring a Korban Pesach if you can eat from it. Nevertheless, b'dievet, if he did bring his Korban Pesach when he was tamei meit and did not eat from it, it would be fine. He was yotzei what he needed to do by Korban Pesach, and he wouldn't have to bring a Pesach sheni. So according to the Ziknei Darom, you can't make that kal v'chomer that Reish Lakish just made because, or you can't make that enu din like Reish Lakish just did because one part of it's not true. And that's when it comes to tamei meit, you just said that you can't be mishalech karbanotav, according to Reish Lakish. But over here, the Ziknei Darom is saying, yein kachanami could. And tamei meit could send his korban in, and it would be a kosher korban. So you can't prove anything to me about tamei meit that I would learn out from too much sheretz. Gemara says, how could you say such a thing that you can say, tell my mate could send in his Korban Pesach and it'll be fine? Pasuk says, Ish kiya tamei, then Nevesh Adam, and then Vasa Pesach, Machodesh Sheni. Then he brings his Pesach, it's a Korban Pesach Sheni. The Torah is explicit, you tell my mate, you bring your Pesach and Pesach Sheni. So what do you mean that you're Yotzei here? Gemara says, the mitzvah, that's only the Chatchila. Chatchila, you should go to Pesach Sheni. But Bidi Evet, if he brought it on Pesach Rishon, in Achanami, it would be fine. Vaktiv, Ish Lefi Achlo, the only people that are appropriate to be appointed or to be partners in a Korban Pesach who bring a Korban Pesach, people can eat or consume it. Here he's tamei meit, he's not going to be able to consume the Korban Pesach. The Gemara again says in the mitzvah, the chatchilo, you should only have people who can consume the Korban Pesach on it, but bidi evet, if he can't consume it, it's still a good Korban. Gemara says, lukuve lo, these dinim are not ma'akei, v'atani, we have a braita, v'michna esat nifashot. So it says, "V'michsat nifashot." You're shechted based on the nifashot, based on the individuals that are appointed. That means the menuyav. When it comes to the shechita, the pesach, you have to know who is a part of the chabura at that point in time. You can't change it. The people who are partners in that korban pesach will remain there. And those that aren't cannot join later on. That's the cutoff. The cutoff is shechita. So michsat nifashot tells you that's the cutoff point. V'chein pesach nishkat elam nuyav. That you can only shechted pesach based on those that are counted on it. Those that are partners in it at the time of Shechita. Shachto Shlom Nuyav. shechted it for those that are not appointed, not a part of the korban. Yochol yehei oved over al mitzvah. I would think that's only a problem. Tchilah, just be violating a mitzvah. Talmud Lomar tachosu katuv shanalav says it twice. La'akev to teach you that it's ma'akev v'itkish ochlim in the miluim. And we know that there's a hekesh between those that consume the korban pesach and the miluim, those that are appointed on it. I mean, those that are partners on the korban pesach also are the consumers of the pesach, and therefore ish lefi, when we say ish lefi ochlo, that would be me'akev, just like the problem of mechsat nefashot, that the tachosu, the word tachosu tells me there's an ikuv by being minuav, so too there's an ikuv by being ra'oi la'achila. It's la'akev, and means if you need to eat it, then we have a problem over here, because how could it be that we're shechting on a tummy mate, then it'll be fine according to the Zikni Darom. The Gemara says no problem. Zikni Darom lo makshe. Zikni Darom don't have this hekesh between that you achilat korban pesach and minyuav, those that are appointed on the korban pesach. In Ochanami, when it comes to having those on the korban pesach appointed on the korban pesach, it's ma'akev. If you shechted it for those that are not partners or appointed to the korban pesach, it would be problematic. And achilat a pesach, that's only a mitzvah lechatchila. We don't have a statement in the pasuk that teaches that's la'akev, so therefore it's only be something lechatchila, not b'di'evit. What about the hekesh between achila and minyuav, that which would make it also problem la'akev even b'di'evit? That we're not darshaning. We don't b'dik nederam are not darshaning that hekesh, and therefore for them, when it comes to achila, it's only din lechatchila. But b'di'evit, someone could bring the korban pesach even though they couldn't eat it, and that example would be a case of a tamei mate. And because of the fact that it's a tamei mate and brings it, that's what protects the Zikei Darom for having the Kal V'Chomer asked against them in their position. And therefore their position remains that the only person who is pasul in the Mishnah and is Mechalel Avodah, someone who is tamei tumat sheretz. But if someone is tamei tumat amet, since all the Uchir B'tzibor and the Tzitzim Ratzah there, it's also Ratzah when it comes to the tumah of the Yachid or the Korban of a Yachid. Both of those would not be mechulal the avodah. The chatzchili shouldn't do it, but if he did it, the avodah would not be mechulal. Right, tomorrow we'll continue with this gemara and more questions about the statement of the Ziknei Darom. Stop here.